I wonder, folks, is there any one of you who isn't working hard these days because of the war? Well, the harder you work and the longer your hours, the more you should be interested in one-a-day vitamin tablets. Both one-a-day vitamin B complex and one-a-day vitamin A and D. Now, supposing you work the day shift in one of the country's many defense industries, chances are you get mighty little sunlight, and if you carry your lunch, you probably don't get all the fresh fruits and the vegetables you need. Am I right? Well, when these conditions exist, it's highly possible that you just don't get enough vitamins A and D to meet your daily needs. Therefore, we'd like to suggest that you take a single, pleasant-tasting, one-a-day brand vitamin A and D tablet each day. Do this, and you can be sure you're getting more than just your minimum daily requirements of these so-called cod liver oil vitamins. And because you take but a single tablet each day, the cost is slightly more than a penny a day when you buy the large economy package. Well, how then can you afford to take chances? So ask your druggist for one-a-day brand vitamin A and D tablets made by Miles. A one-a-day is a registered trademark of Miles Laboratories, and they're the vitamins with that big one on each package. And now, let's see what's going on down in Pine Ridge. Well, it's about noon in Pine Ridge, and so it's time for Cedric's breach of promise trial to resume. Inasmuch as the trial is drawing to a close, and it is expected that both plaintiff and defendant will bring out their star witnesses today, there's an extra-large crowd jammed into the livery stable courtroom. As we look in on the little community today, we find Clerk of Courts Grandpappy Spears opening the day's court session. Listen.
Hey, Municipal Court of the Township of Pine Ridge, Arkansas, is now in session. Justice of the Peace, Lum Edwards presiding. Sit down, everybody.
What do you got for lunch today, Ulysses?
Hey, Chef Abner. Afternoon, everybody. Always proud to see such a big turnout for the trial. By the way, Ulysses, what have you got for lunch today?
Oh, some sweet potatoes and cornbread, one thing or another. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Try not to get no crumbs in the jury box. Ulysses, Ari Hodgkin's been complaining a little. He says he likes to keep a neat liver stable.
Okay.
Will one of the jurors sitting next to Grandpa Masters prop him up a little higher in his chair, please? Yeah, that's better. Thank you, Miss Clayton.
Lum, let's get the trial started.
Squire, if you don't address me as your honor, I might just fine you $500 for contempting the court.
God fire you, Lum.
Have you fed our cow yet, counsel?
Yeah, Don fed her, yeah.
And I reckon we're ready to proceed.
Yeah.
Now take up where we left off with the case of Winifred Opal Redfield versus Ease against Cedric Wolfgang Weehunt for breaching the promise. Plaintiff is suing for $1,000 heart bomb. Is the counsel for the plaintiff ready with any more witnesses?
Yes, Your Honor. We have one more witness, and then we'll rest the case.
Good. We'll more than likely all need a rest for them. Who is your witness, Winifred?
Yes, Your Honor.
Winifred Redfield to the witness stand, please.
Your Honor, may I remind the court that Miss Redfield is in an extremely nervous and upset condition. In fact, she's liable to go to pieces at any moment. So I would like to ask the court to extend every courtesy and kindness to poor suffering Miss Redfield and to keep the courtroom as quiet as possible. I ask the court's indulgence in this matter.
Well, the court will indulge her, or whatever that was you said. Swear in the witness, Mr. Clerk.
Yes, and Mr. Clerk, try not to raise your voice unduly. We don't want to upset this poor girl.
I won't upset her.
Now, don't worry about a thing, Winifred. Everything's going to be all right.
In the testimony you're about to give before this court, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Well, do you or don't you?
Say, I do, Winifred.
I do.
Sit down and state your full name.
Winifred Opal.
Oh, what's so funny about Ollie?
She's not laughing, Mr. Clerk. She's on the verge of hysterics. That's what it is.
Funny kind of hysterics, if you want my opinion. Proceed with the question, counsel.
Yes, all right. Now then, Miss Redfield, you are the plaintiff in this action, are you not? Try to keep calm, Winifred. You were planning to get married, were you not? And who were you planning to marry? Or rather, who was planning to marry you?
Cedric.
Yes, Cedric Weehunt. And is that person in this courtroom now? Or is that Mr. Weehunt sitting over there?
Yes, Mom, this is me, I think.
I wasn't asking you, Cedric.
Oh, excuse me. I'll take it back then. I'm mighty not sure of me, though.
Now then, Winifred, From the time that Mr. Weehunt proposed to you up until the time of the wedding.
Abner.
Huh?
You know, O-B-J-E-K.
Oh, yeah. I object.
Objection sustained.
Not now, just a minute here. What is being objected to?
Abner objects because Cedric never actually proposed to Winifred. It was just a mistake. I called up her papa myself to straighten this whole thing out, and he took it that I was proposing for Cedric.
All right, I'll withdraw the question. It doesn't matter how the proposal was made, anyway. Winifred, I want you to describe, as well as you can, your general state of mind prior to the wedding. Yes, in other words, you were very happy and joyful, gay and carefree, looking forward to many years of delightful and interesting companionship with your husband. Dreaming of a little white cottage.
Dreaming of a white Christmas.
A picket fence. Little children. In other words, you had built your whole future around this one man. Is that right?
I think so, isn't it?
Yes. Now, during this period, did Mr. Weehunt speak of love and of the future to you? What were some of the things that he said to you?
He said...
Must have been any interesting conversation.
Yes, I must
have. I'll have to ask you fellas to be quiet, I reckon.
Now, Winifred, after the wedding turned out so disastrously, after Mr. Weehunt coldly and without regard for your feeling walked out of the ceremony...
Abner objects.
I object,
yeah. Cedric was kidnapped. He never walked out.
All right. The point is that he never went through with the wedding. Now, Winifred, after all this happened, please tell the good men and women of this jury here exactly how did you feel. That is, tell them as best you can your general feelings, state of health, and condition of mind. Tell them in your own words, Winifred. Yes, I understand. You can't even bear to talk about it. What a pity. Well, all right, Winifred, that's all. You may get down off the witness stand now.
Wait a minute, Squire. Abner ain't cross-examined her yet.
Well, Your Honor, I hardly feel that this poor, frail, delicate girl is in any condition for a cross-examination.
Well, I don't care. According to the rules of the court, she's got to be cross-examined. Go ahead, Abner.
Let's see. What did I ask her?
Come up here a second, I'll tell you.
I object to this matter of the court and the defense counsel conferring during the trial. It's nothing short of collusion.
All right, Squire, I'll put a stop to it. Court will now recess for 1 minute. Now, come up here, Abner. I want to tell you something.
Sure.
See if you can
get now, wait just a minute. Calling a recess doesn't make sense. Great God, there's that blasted cow again.
Court's in session again. Go ahead, counsel.
Miss Winifred, did Cedric Weehunt ever actual propose to you?
Huh?
I say, did Cedric ever actual propose to you?
I object on the grounds that this girl is in no condition to stand up under such a withering cross-examination. Why, you can tell by looking at her she's on the verge of collapse. Aren't you, Winifred? Winifred, I said you're about to collapse, aren't you?
Yes.
Oh, what a pity the poor girl collapsed just like I thought she would. Hurry up, give me some water. Help me get her up.
Yeah,
help me,
I'll
somebody.
Get
some water.
Quick, help him, Abner.
Help this poor girl. Oh, the poor girl has all been too much for her. Now, easy, Abner. Easy there. She's very frail and delicate.
Doggies, I can't lift her. She's about the heaviest one frail human I ever seen in my life.
Wait a minute. Maybe she can make it by herself. Here, let me have her. Are you feeling better, Winifred? Yes, that's it. Now, come on, try to stand up. Charlie, I believe you'd better take your daughter right home and put her to bed. She's in a serious condition. Yes, now, come on. That's it, Winifred. Go with your father.
Well, wait a minute, Squire. Abner ain't done cross-examining her yet.
Good grief, man. You can't expect this poor little girl to go through any more than she already has, surely. Now, get her home as fast as you can, Charlie. Goodbye, Winifred. I'll see you later. Oh, just listen to that pitiful little cry of hers. Sounds like a mournful... Oh, drat that cow.
Here's the water. Where's
she at? She went home with her paw.
Here, give me the water, Grandpap. I've been thirsty all day.
I'm very sorry this happened, Your Honor, right in the middle of the cross-examination, but these are things over which we have no control.
No, I reckon not. Well, we'll carry on anyways. All right, simmer down, everybody. Court's in session again. Was that your last witness, counsel?
Yes, the plaintiff rest.
Good. Now you can get started, Abner.
Huh?
Get to the truth of this thing. Call Wimpy Foster to the witness stand.
He ain't in court yet, Long. Will you call him on the telephone, Grandpap? Tell him to get over here.
Yeah, I'll call him.
Yeah, it's the time.
Yeah, court's in recess till the clerk gets hold of Wimpy Foster. Come up here a second, Abner.
Yeah. Say, Long, you reckon we ought to put Cedric on the stand there while we're waiting for Wimpy?
No, Cedric just gets mixed up, Abner. He does himself more harm than good.
Well, we ought to be doing something, Long, not just standing here.
I know it.
Looks sort of bad for us, don't it? Winterford collapsing and all.
Yeah, it does. Wait till Wimpy gets on there and tells his side everything, though. I ain't a bit worried long as we got him.
Well, I hope you're right. Tell you, I hate to see Cedric lose his case. Special when he's got such a good lawyer as me.
Wait a minute,
Harley.
Here comes Grandpa back already.
Oh.
All right, folks. Court's in session again. Did you get hold of Wimpy Foster all right, Mr. Clerk?
I talked to his mama. He wasn't home.
Well, where is he? On his way over here?
No. He's on his way to some army camp. That's where he's on his way to. He just got drafted.
Huh?
Well, we wonder what the squire will think up next. But I don't wonder, folks, what your reaction will be the first time you take Alka-Seltzer to ease the dull, achy misery of a cold. Now, if you're like the other countless thousands of Americans who take Alka-Seltzer for colds, you'll swear by the comforting relief it offers. Of course, in addition to taking Alka-Seltzer, common sense will tell you you should take care of yourself as well. Of course, get lots of rest. Eat sensibly. Dress wisely. Avoid drafts and overheated rooms. But for downright gratifying relief for your cold misery, take Alka-Seltzer as directed on the package and use it as a gargle, too, if a sore throat's a part of your distress. You know, of course, that you can get Alka-Seltzer at all drugstores in 30 and 60-cent size packages.